Jasmine. What a perfect song. A little baby love for all the babies. All the babies on the way. From the 630, I got a text message. My fourth grandchild was born on March 20th. He will be 4 weeks old tomorrow, and I still haven't gotten to meet him in person. My son and the wife send a lot of pictures and videos, but it's not the same as holding them. It's very hard, and it's breaking my heart not being able to see him or any of my grandchildren. Oh, my goodness. We feel for you, 630. We can only imagine how difficult that is. We're going to find out how long you should be waiting before you see and hold and meet and kiss the new grandbaby. We're going to find that out from Dr. Harvey Karp. He's a longtime pediatrician and best-selling author of Happiest Baby on the Block. He's also really incredible. He's an inventor, really done a lot of incredible research on newborn sleeping and soothing techniques as well. And I didn't realize also the person that mentioned and started swaddling. I thought swaddling started with babies when babies first existed, but apparently not. Dr. Karp, you helped bring that along.
Yes, swaddling really fell out of favor. Good to meet you, G.
Nice to meet you.
Swaddling fell out of favor for a long centuries, actually, and then through this Happiest Baby on the Block book, I was very fortunate to participate in parents rediscovering swaddling. And now it's a very common practice.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Karp, for being with us. We hope you're safe and healthy and everybody in your family is as well.
Thank you. Yeah, we're safe right now. My daughter in New York City actually had COVID-19, so she's recovered at this point in time. But it's a frightening time out there, and it's upsetting to many, many families for so many reasons, like that grandfather that you read about in the beginning.
Absolutely. Wanted to ask you, are pregnant women more susceptible to COVID-19?
No, it doesn't seem so. Well, we don't know, have all the answers. That's probably the first thing to say. Mm-hmm. We're learning every day. It doesn't seem like they're more susceptible. If they are, it doesn't seem like they're very much more susceptible. You know, most young adults have some risk. Of course, they can get the virus, but they don't seem to get serious illness the way older people do, or people with pre-existing conditions. So that's kind of one little ray of sunshine that we have.
Absolutely. Let's say by chance, unfortunate that it happens, but a woman that is pregnant does contract COVID-19. Is there an increased risk to her depending on where she is in the stage of her pregnancy? Let's say first trimester versus third trimester.
You know, some viruses are very dangerous to the developing baby and can cause serious problems, congenital problems, brain problems, all sorts of issues. And some viruses don't seem to affect the developing baby at all. It turns out that from everything we've seen, COVID-19 is very rare to cross the placenta and to get into the baby, and it's very, very rare to cause problems. Occasionally, there have been a couple of reports of prematurity for moms who have been infected. But it seems like the baby is pretty well protected, and even after they're born, they have a pretty low incidence of serious problems. They can get sick, then catch the illness, but not nearly to the degree that that people over 60 have. In fact, the real issue is not so much the baby as much as the parent, because the last thing you want to have happen when you have a little baby at home is for you to get seriously ill or, God forbid, have to be hospitalized, and that's a tremendous trauma on a family. So the most important thing is if you're pregnant and listening to this, or if you have a young baby, really take it seriously, all of these recommendations for hand washing, not touching your face, wearing a mask when you're out in public, social distancing. Those are the key things so you don't get sick, because getting sick is just going to be such a tough time when you have a baby.
So going on what you're saying, if you do get sick, then the chances, the risk of passing it on to a newborn is something that you should be very concerned about. But normally it doesn't pass to a fetus, to an unborn baby.
That's correct. And if you have a baby already, then you want to take extra precautions. Even though they tend to fight it off well, we know that babies in the first 3 or 4 months of life aren't great at fighting off infections. And so so you want to be extra careful. Breastfeeding is important. Here's a really interesting thing. It turns out that when you are sick, and say you have a chest infection like this virus is, you will make antibodies against that virus. Antibodies are made by white blood cells. And those white blood cells will travel from your lungs to your breasts, and your breast milk will have specific antibody against that virus. It's a pretty amazing system. And so breastfeeding is a great way of giving your baby specific immunity against whatever it is that you're fighting.
Wow.
Having said that, you want to wash your hands. I mean, you may want to pump your breast and get the milk through a bottle. And certainly if you're breastfeeding at the breast, you want to wear a mask and you know, try not to be breathing, coughing, sneezing right on your baby, because that's the main way it spreads.
Well, that's fascinating, doctor, because that was going to be one of the questions that I asked. So definitely then, even if you're someone that gets COVID-19 and then recovers, you don't have to worry about not breastfeeding your child.
No, because ultimately breastfeeding is great for the baby, and it's great for the mother too. We know lots of reports that show that breastfeeding helps the uterus recover. It also ultimately reduces the woman's risk of breast cancer and ovarian cancer later on. So breastfeeding is great if you can do it. Not everybody can, but you know, there's a lot of people to help support you. And in fact, actually, one thing, I'll tell you another kind of little tidbit here. Before you have the baby, you want to learn as much as you can about breastfeeding. And it's pretty common that women have some bumps in the road when they start breastfeeding. So the more you know ahead of time, and if you can find a consultant who may be able to give you information ahead of time, that's really a great thing. And here's one interesting little tip, which is that some women run into problems because they have flat or inverted nipples. And so when the breast gets full of milk, there's not a lot of nipple for the baby to latch onto. So if your nipples, when you stimulate them, when you rub them a little bit, if they erect and they come out about a half an inch or more, that's great. But if they stay flat, or if they actually even get pulled in a little bit, then you need to speak to your care provider to find out what you can do to get them to stick out a little bit more, to get ready or in preparation for breastfeeding.
I know from my friends that it can be so emotional if the baby has a difficult time latching. And, you know, and right now there's just a wealth of emotions happening, especially during this global pandemic. I can only imagine for the women that are giving birth during this time and also are pregnant during this time. There's just so many worries that they have to think about, breastfeeding and being one of them, too. So, doctor.
Yeah, you're so right. And that's why you want to try to take some steps ahead of time in anticipation, especially when everything else is so challenging.
Absolutely. We're going to have more with Dr. Harvey Karp coming up. Our number here is 312-981-7200. If you've got questions about pregnancy and coronavirus, he can answer them. He can answer a lot of other questions, too, because he is a parenting expert, incredible inventor. He's actually got a ton of, you know, was on the forefront of a lot of newborn sleeping and soothing techniques. I think he can probably answer any question you have about a newborn or a pregnancy as well. So all that coming up. Do you have a grandbaby on the way? Do you have a loved one that's pregnant right now? Or are you pregnant and very worried? All of this happening in the age of coronavirus. Well, with us right now is Dr. Harvey Karp. He's a longtime pediatrician and best-selling author of Happiest Baby on the Block. He has another book called, I think, Happiest Toddler on the Block as well. And he can answer your questions, 312-981-7200. So, Dr. Karp, I know for a lot of pregnant women right now, should they be concerned about going into the office for prenatal visits?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, in general, you know, we want to shelter at home, and so reducing your visits anywhere, including to a doctor's office where sick people may be going, is a good idea. So you have to coordinate that with your caregiver. A lot of doctors and nurse practitioners and midwives are now doing telehealth. So you can get a lot of your checkup done over the telephone. It might be if you have to go in for some procedure, you can arrange a time when no one else is there, or even go to an office and have the doctor or nurse come out and see you in your car so that it minimizes your exposure. But, you know, we're all trying to think three times before we go out and you know, expose ourselves and expose other people to ourselves. So that's kind of what we're doing. They were doing the same thing with baby visits, you know, as much as we can, trying to put off people having to come into the office.
So, Dr. Karp, I know that for a lot of pregnant women, there's a big concern that their doctor won't be there to deliver the baby. And with so many doctors being needed on the front line right now, is there a worry about your doctor being diverted in an emergency setting? It seems like everything's under an emergency setting right now.
I think that's true. But, you know, there's another side to it, which is it turns out that they're seeing many fewer other types of emergencies. I mean, you know, coronavirus is off the charts, but many fewer, you know, other serious issues at the emergency department. Mm-hmm. So to a certain degree, the doctors, you know, if they're not immediately involved with the care of those sick patients with coronavirus, they should be available. But, you know, it's always a bit of a crapshoot with your obstetrician because pretty much everybody shares calls these days. So if you're delivering at 2 a.m, you mm-hmm. may not have the doctor that you want.
Do women that are going to be giving birth soon need to be concerned about their hospital stay after giving birth? Should they shorten it? How do you ease their concerns?
Well, I think everybody is trying to encourage a shorter period of time in the hospital, meaning, you know, get in, deliver your baby, make sure everyone's stable, and then get you home. Mm-hmm. It's kind of... you know, in the hospitals, there are sick people. You know, the nurses are going in and out of other people's rooms, and you really don't want to be exposed. So you want to have a healthy, safe birth, and then the condition of your healthcare provider get home as quickly as possible. We're actually, just as a side note, you mentioned that I'm an inventor, and we invented a bed called Snoo, which is a responsive kind of a baby bed, meaning that it rocks and shushes babies and keeps them safe at night. And when the babies get upset, the bed senses that and it rocks and shushes more. And what we've been able to show is we can add 1 to 2 hours to a baby's sleep right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. We can calm babies crying very quickly. And also we prevent babies from rolling to an unsafe position.
Uh-huh.
So it's being evaluated right now as the world's first, potentially the world's first SIDS prevention bed. The FDA is looking at that at this time. But the reason I'm saying this is because we're giving beds away to hospitals to help nurses, because the nurses are short-staffed,
mm-hmm.
And also to help mothers in the hospital who may have the virus or may not have the ability to bring family members in, because some hospitals are restricting that.
Right.
And so this way they have the bed, which is kind of like, it's not so much a bed as it is a caregiver. I joke it's like your older sister who moved in and said, you know what, gee, you go to sleep. I'm going to hold, rock, and shush the baby all night long, and I'll get you if I can't calm the baby and the mm-hmm. baby's hungry. And so we're able to oftentimes help babies sleep, an extra couple of hours at night, which gives the parents an extra couple of hours. And the reason that's so important right now in the hospital is because they're short-staffed. And at home, because, you know, a lot of people can't have their family visit.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, other people coming in to help them. And sleep is perhaps the number one vitamin, if you will, for your immune system.
Mm-hmm. And the bassinet, it's a robotic bassinet. The name of it, I'm going to spell it for you, is S-N-O-O. Of course, it's still being evaluated, right, Doc? But you've been donating some to hospitals as well, which is awesome of you. Wanted to follow up.
No, we've been selling that for years, actually.
Oh,
you can
okay.
actually even rent it. You can rent it for the cost of about Starbucks coffee.
Oh, wow.
About $3.80 a day. We ship it anywhere for free. So it's actually been, many, many tens of thousands of people have used it. We've actually measured now over 84 million hours of safe sleep in babies, keeping them on the back. So this is something that a lot of people in Chicago know about.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Yes. You said the it's being evaluated as preventing SIDS. So that's what you were mentioning. Yes. So piggybacking on what you're talking about with nurses, do pregnant women need to worry about, once they've given birth and they're in the hospital, that potentially contracting coronavirus from a nurse that's coming from a different floor? Or do most, you know, is that a concern that people need to think about?
Well, of course, the nurses are being very, very careful in the hospitals. They've got.
And I shouldn't just say nurses, like any kind of health professional, doctors, mm-hmm. nurses, yeah.
Sure. And I think that, you know, everyone is trying to be as cautious and thoughtful as possible. The hard thing about this virus is you can have it and be contagious, you know, 3 days, 4 days before you actually get sick, before you know you have it. And so that's why we have to be so careful around, you know, around other people outside of your family that's living with you. So, of course, you know, they would not be in the hospital if they were actually sick, but they may be contagious before they know they're sick. So in general, we want to reduce the amount of exposure people have, you know, to nurses, to doctors, to technicians, and kind of get in and out of the hospital as quickly as is reasonable.
This is a question from a listener. My biggest question was how to manage letting our families meet the baby. It's my mom's first grandchild, and she's a little devastated because she's 75, and after our stay in the hospital, we're very scared to give it to her because she's susceptible because the mom is 75. The plan is to make them all wait 2 weeks. I'd love to hear if that's the best way to navigate this from the doctor.
You know, like we said in the beginning, the risk is not so much to the baby, it's to the parents and, of course, to the grandparents because, you know, being over 60 definitely increases your risk of serious illness. So I often recommend that parents, I know this is going to sound heartless maybe, but recommend that the parents not have the grandparents come the first week or two anyway, just to give them a chance to really get to know the baby and experience what that's like, because after 2 weeks, they're begging the grandparents to come, you know, to get some extra help. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I think that if the grandma can wait and she's safe, you know, and it's been quarantined for a couple of weeks, and the parents are safe coming home from the hospital, they haven't picked up anything, then they can have greater confidence to have the grandmother visit or the grandparents visit.
So the final answer is, you think 2 weeks is a long enough period? They don't need to wait longer than 2 weeks, do they?
I think that that's right. You know, as best we know, 2 weeks is like the... It's a pretty long period. Usually the spread of the illness is sooner than that. Some people like to wait 3 weeks to be extra cautious, but something in that ballpark.
Okay. And this is from the 224 area code. This is a question. Just my first pregnancy, I felt flu-like symptoms, but didn't have a fever 1 or 2 days before delivery. Turned out that was hormones. Is that something that's very common, doctor?
Well, hormones, of course, you know, just like you can get hot flashes when you're going through menopause, the hormonal changes that occur in pregnancy can cause all sorts of symptoms, you know, irritable attitude, moodiness, joy, you know, that wonderful glow feeling, that optimism. I mean, there are good sides and bad sides to it. But the tricky thing is that you can get coronavirus and have very minimal symptoms. And so you can't, excuse me, that's... It's a little asthma. No one, don't get worried.
You don't have COVID-19, doc.
You can't know if you've had the virus or not until you get tested.
Okay.
If you have symptoms, get tested, and we'll do a nasal swab, and after the fact, we can do a blood test. The hard thing is right now, the government really has to get its act together and get out many more tests so that we can test huge populations. And ultimately, that's the way we can have confidence that we've had it or we haven't had it. And ultimately, that's how we're going to get back to work, because the people who've had the virus don't have to be fearful, and they can get back to their jobs, and we can start getting this economy up again.
Dr. Harvey Karp, he's a longtime pediatrician and best-selling author of Happiest Baby on the Block and Happiest Toddler on the Block. He also is an inventor and a parenting expert. His new, it's not new, it's been out for a couple of years. He's got a new robotic bassinet. It's called Snoo, S-N-O-O. So Dr. Karp has been talking to us about COVID-19 and pregnancy. So bottom line, I think you've made us feel all better. It doesn't sound like pregnant women are more susceptible. It doesn't sound like there's greater risk here. What's the bottom line in terms of pregnancy and COVID-19?
Well, the bottom line is that we're lucky that it doesn't seem to affect young children very severely. But the real concern we have to have is parents getting sick. And so you want to protect yourself for your sake and for the baby's sake, because if you get sick, you're not going to be helpful to the baby at all.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Harvey Karp. I know that you're a parenting expert. If there's one lesson, I mean, you've been working in this field for a very long time. You're an expert. What's the one lesson in terms of parenting with the newborn? What's the one thing that newborn parents need to do?
Well, I'll tell you two things. One thing is, I always tell my patients, be flexible or die, because it's good to have your attitudes and your expectations, but children are here to challenge our expectations, and so don't be rigid and don't try to hold on to any specific ideology. If you're having a baby, you know, hopefully you'll have a vaginal birth, but sometimes you have to have cesarean sections, and you just have to recognize that we're blessed every day, and to you know, this COVID whole experience is telling us to, you know, kind of chill out a little bit and be grateful for the good things that we have. And I would say one last thing, which is that, and maybe we'll talk about this another time, there's a lot of support for parents who have school-age children and learning, you know, by computer and things like that. The people who are really struggling the most aren't even the ones with the new babies, and they're not the ones with the school-age kids. They're the ones with kids 1 to 4 years of age.
You're right.
Those folks are going crazy. And let me tell you, they should be patting themselves on the back, because there has never been a generation of parents who had to live in a small cave with one child or one screaming toddler or upsettable toddler and not have the help of their family and their community. So what they're doing right now is really, really, you know, heroic, and they should be proud of themselves and get all the help they can, you know, by learning ways that they can raise their toddler and make it a little bit more livable situation.
Totally agree with you. Thank you so much for those wise words and also that pep talk for all those parents of toddlers out there. Thanks so much to Dr. Harvey Karp. Thanks for being with us. Continue to stay safe, and we're so glad that your daughter's recovered from her bout with coronavirus. Really appreciate it.
What a pleasure talking to you. And everyone be safe out there. Wash your hands and take this seriously. It's going to be over pretty soon, but we need to stay indoors right now to really flatten the curve.
That's the best thing we can do. Thanks, Dr. Karp.